Welcome to the Road Rage Weird WCCP 105.5 The Roar. You want in 654-7627. We're going to turn our attention to some draft talk and take a look at the Falcons. Carolina, talk more about the Clemson players who are in this mix because I think we've proven we're about as efficient at the draft process as anybody in the country. But before we do that, let me get to Bob. Bob, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Walt. How are you?
Good, Bob. Appreciate you getting in.
I found you up here on TuneIn Radio up here in Virginia. I was a six-year senior, I think, at Clemson during the game, the hockey game.
Right.
And am I wrong, but did the freshman players complain that their schedule was so much tougher than ours, and that's the reason they lost?
I think that now that you mention that...
I'm just kidding, Walt. I was Alabama.
But now that you mention that, there actually was, I think, some of that conversation. So maybe in a way, Bob, even though you were kidding and being facetious, maybe that's always going on, because in the Russian group was Canada, which, again, was considered the number one challenger to Soviet supremacy.
Yep. Well, I really enjoy your show. I just thought that was kind of funny. I thought you'd enjoy it.
It was. Thank you, Bob. Very
All
funny.
Right.
Well done.
Have a good
and
one.
Thank you for listening in that manner up in Virginia. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it very much. Yeah, it was pretty funny. You know, maybe there's always been a degree of that. Because I actually do believe that even though Bob was just making a funny point, in regard to Clemson's schedule and that constant type of refrain, I think that there actually was some talk then about how the Americans' path, how the U.S.'s path was easier than that of the mighty Soviets, which was laughable because we had a bunch of college kids playing and they had a bunch of hired guns.
Maybe they had to say something since their life was ruined.
Yeah, their life,
they lost.
Their life was ruined. Actually, somebody wrote me on Twitter, and it was Uncle Ram wrote that there's a really good 30 for 30 on the Russian hockey team before and after the Olympics. How about that? Wasn't even aware of that. That's the only thing in my mind that's salvageable from that outfit. But yeah, I may have to check that out. You want to get in 654-7627, 654-7627. Now, I want to talk a little bit about...
Oh, can I pass along the baseball
news? Yeah, we have a new
update.
You're
going to have a doubleheader?
That's tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow.
At 1 p.m.?
Yes, and then the other game is going to start about 60 minutes after.
Yeah, so there you are. And we really just found this out in the last 10 minutes or so.
Right.
There's been, because quite honestly, we had to sort of wait to get the latest updates on what the weather was going to do. Although we all know what it's going to do. It's going to rain.
Yeah.
Because it rains every stinking day. So we all pretty much know that.
It does.
But regardless, they will endeavor to get in a doubleheader starting at 1 p.m. tomorrow against the VMI. So in the second game beginning, as Ramona indicated. So there you have the update on the Clemson baseball schedule. All right. I want to talk a little bit about the draft and where we stand. You know, I was thinking a little bit about the Falcons and their particular set of needs. And, you know, I think you're looking at offensive tackle, where Jake Matthews is really turning into the player they hoped he'd be when they drafted him, but there's just not much else there. I mean, it's really Jake Matthews and nobody. And then, obviously, you still have Alex Mack at center to solidify that. I think they think they're okay at right guard, but I think left guard is a problem. So as Atlanta approaches the draft, I think they need a left guard. I think they need another offensive tackle to play opposite Matthews. You know, defensive tackle, they're not as deep as they were. They have Grady Jarrett, and Sanat started to play a little better the second half of last year. You know, the Grady Jarrett thing is going to be interesting because are the Falcons franchising him? You know, he's a franchise tag is going to cost you like $15.7 million, I believe, in terms of defensive tackle. You know, it's an oft-injured position, which is a bit of a dilemma. But do the Falcons want to pay Grady Jarrett long term and keep him happy? If so, what is that going to take? What are we talking? We're talking the $20 million mark, I would guess, because that is sort of the popular number that defensive players hope to attain now. And this is one of the dilemmas. It's how you handle yourself in the salary cap era. It's absolutely clear the Falcons have Grady Jarrett as a priority. It's much less clear what the Falcons have in mind with Vic Beasley. But it's clear that the Falcons would like to keep Grady Jarrett. But at what cost? I mean, you know, how much is a defensive tackle truly worth? Aaron Donald is the most dominant defensive tackle in the game today, and his team didn't win the Super Bowl. They played for it, but not necessarily because of him. They played for it by and large because that offense was so productive all year. I mean, I think Grady Jarrett is one of the better defensive tackles in the National Football League right now. You know, not Aaron Donald explosive, but, you know, once you move past that first tier of a few guys, Grady Jarrett is there. And for a guy who's basically made chump change since he came to Atlanta, and he deserves to be paid, and he deserves to be paid by the Falcons. The question is, does the salary cap system allow you to pay a defensive tackle $20 million a year, which might be what it takes to really make Grady Jarrett happy on any sort of sustained deal? I mean, I think Jarrett is one of the dominant defensive tackles in the game. I think it's going to be interesting to see how Atlanta approaches that. I'm of the belief that they want to do everything they can to try and retain him. It's just, you know, again, what does that mean? Will Grady Jarrett be at all flexible? Especially considering, you know, he's a guy that you have gotten on a rookie deal and a late round deal. And he's basically been paid chump change. Wait a minute. Harriet was at?
Yeah. Miracle on Ice. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that's what she said.
Okay, I don't know if I've ever spoken to somebody who was actually at the game. All right, I'm stopping what I'm doing to bring Harriet in. Harriet.
Yes.
How are you, Harriet?
I'm wonderful. How are you, Walt?
I'm well. So you were actually at the game?
Yes, I was there as a part of the sports medicine team at night for the whole 1980 team. So I was there for the whole Olympics, and yes, I was there. I was there when they beat
Finland,
Russia. For they had to beat Russia.
They beat
to get to the gold medal.
Right,
gold medal. And so I was at both of those games, and it was wild. It was wild. USA was so loud, I thought, and everybody was jumping up and down. I thought the building was going to collapse.
So you were there as part of the American medical team for the entirety of the games?
Yes, I was. Yes.
How about that? And so in being there, what was it like as it unfolded? I mean, obviously, it had to start slowly at first. Nobody really had enormous expectations for the U.S. team. At what point, as you recollect, and I know you had other duties and such, but at what point did you, like you, the people you were working with up there, start to get the feeling that, that hey, maybe we need to be watching all this?
Well, Herb Brooks, the coach, he had brought a bunch of college, you know, really good college players.
Right.
And everybody was just wanting them to finish well, play hard. And the spotlight is on hockey in the Olympics and when, you know, the Stanley Cup comes around. So these kids were, they were healthy. They had played, many of them had played together. But he brought them in and he drilled it in them that they could do this. And you, we were at practices as well as the competition. So the sports medicine facility was inside the Olympic Village. And inside the Olympic Village, there was the ice rink. There's a practice rink and then the main rink. And they were close by. So we were positioned out amongst the different venues. And I just happened to get hockey more than anything else. And being from the South, it was like, hockey, really? but
So initially you were a little bit disappointed about the venues that you had to work.
And you could see a different energy once they won one or two of the games. Because right. The other teams brought their professional players.
Right.
And so this group had to kind of overcome the idea that they were playing against professionals.
Right. And so.
So after they won a few, they began to think they could. Matter of belief. They believed in each other. And Herb Brooks was just a master at getting everything out of them.
And in the game itself, the game against the Soviets, to experience what that was like at the end of that game firsthand, what was your reaction? I mean, what was it like to have been there as those final seconds wound down?
It was deafening. Everybody was crying. We were jumping up and hugging each other. The place was going absolutely berserk. It was phenomenal. I get chills. I almost want to cry because it was such a patriotic moment that this bunch of kids had just conquered the best of the best. And the place was rocking. It was USA. I mean, it was so loud. It was deafening. It was phenomenal. I'll never have another experience like that.
How many people did that facility hold in terms of fan viewership? Do you know?
Oh, I have no clue. It was, probably is like Cameron Indoor Stadium at Duke.
Yeah.
It reminded me a lot of that. I'm originally from North Carolina. It reminds me, if you've ever been in the Duke Stadium, in basketball stadium, it reminds you of that. It was quaint. But it circled around, so everybody, it was sitting in an oval, and people were sitting kind of just like you would find in Greenville for the swamp rabbit.
Right.
Not quite as big a venue.
Well, you know, Harriet, you're the only person I've ever spoken to who was actually at the game. I'm sure there are about 500,000 now who claim they were at the game, but you're the only one that I've ever spoken to and fully believe was at the game. So that had to be a special. Just out of curiosity, did you take away any physical remembrances from it?
I've got my we all as the sports medicine team, we got our medal. I have it in my shadow box. I have my hat and my overalls and all that stuff. We had shirts that said Lake Placid, Winter Olympic Games, athletic therapy. I have my USA. I have my my mementos of that. I have some pins. I have my jacket, my over, my bibs. So yeah.
That's tremendous. I mean, so congratulations, Harry. I mean, it just must have been an incredible experience, and you have all those wonderful real life mementos and remembrances that you were able to take with you. I really appreciate you calling and taking the time to share your story, Harriet.
Yep, I appreciate it. It is truly a miracle on ice, and I'm glad that you appreciate it at the level that you do, because it was a special time.
Thank you so much, Harriet. Thank you so much. Appreciate that very much. How about that, Ramona? And you can tell.
That is very cool.
And you can tell, you know, sometimes you hear people say things like, oh, you know, I was there. And you sort of get the feeling that, no, you really weren't. You can tell that Harriet was there. Harriet not only knows things that you wouldn't know, but you could just tell. And what an experience it must have been. And you know, I wondered whether she had any physical remembrance of it, and she does.
She
has lots of them. And I don't recall actually ever speaking to anyone prior who was actually at that game. And, you know, and I asked about how many people it held, because I'm sure there are like millions of people now who claim they were at that game, but you know, there were only a relative handful really who were, you know, the 10,000, 12,000, whatever that building held. And of course, Harriet and her team, which is just absolutely.
That's cool. She was like on the Olympic staff.
Yeah. I mean, it was just.
That's neat.
Incredible. And as she said, there weren't many expectations early on. And then as the expectations began to mount, you know, in terms of, what the team might be capable of, it became an absolute madhouse. And to the end, as she described, it was just deafening that you just, it was the chance of USA, USA, et cetera, just absolutely deafening. Walt Tipula, Road Rage, quick break. We'll be right back.
Book your next party at Carson Steakhouse in Anderson with a large private dining room to suit all of life's celebrations, corporate and social group events. Host a family or school reunion to remember. Book your reservation and they handle the rest. Double fried chicken wings, fresh baked yeast rolls, hand-cut steaks, grilled teriyaki salmon, and fresh strawberry shortcake, just to name a few delicious menu items. Make your reservation today. Call 226-9400. Again, that's 226-9400. Carson Steakhouse, Anderson.
Start the new year off right with a visit to Edwards Auto Sales in Walhalla. They have everything you're looking for, including the new 2019 Ford models and a great selection of certified pre-owned vehicles. Get 0% financing for 60 months on select 2018 models. Edwards Auto Sales has a full body shop and rentals are available too. Visit the dealer that has been voted Oconee's number one new car dealer, Edwards Auto Sales, your full service Ford dealer on Highway 28 in Walhalla, the trusted Ford dealer for over 50 years.
You have cracks in your driveway, sidewalk, or settling pool decks? Why tear it out when you can lift it? Canty Foundation Specialists can raise concrete slabs back to its original position using our patented poly-level process. Call Canty today at 864-475-1671. Don't replace it, raise it. 475-1671, or visit us at cantyfoundationsc.com.
Founders Federal Credit Union hits it out of the park with all your financial needs and offers all the online conveniences of the big banks, like Founders Online, Founders App with mobile deposit, and much more. Not a Founders member? Visit RelaxJoinFounders.com or our Clemson office to see if you qualify for membership. Services require credit evaluation. Terms and conditions apply. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA and a proud partner of the Clemson Tigers.
Nothing like Toyota-thon, Gary. Seeing people come together and get the best deals of the year.
But what happens after January 2nd when all the best deals are gone?
Live in the now, Gary. Live in the now.
Get 0% APR for 48 months on a new 2018 Toyota RAV4. Offer valid through January 2nd, 2019. Zero down for well-qualified buyers with approved credit and financing through Southeast Toyota Finance. 2083 monthly payment for every $1,000 financed. Excludes tax, tag, registration, title, and dealer fees. See dealer for details.
It's Road Rage with Walt Deptula on 105.5 The Roar.
If you got something to say, give me a call.
Back to Walt and Ramona.
Tula Road Rage, where to be CCP 105.5 The Roar. You know, Rona, it's National Margarita Day.
Holy, I like that.
Yeah, I'm a fan of that. I'm in favor of National Margarita Day. I could go for one of those right now, or like three.
Or three.
or maybe more. A National Margarita Day.
Finally, a day I can get behind.
Yeah, exactly. A nice chicken enchilada or something and wash it down with a few margaritas. Yeah, on National Margarita Day. You can get in if you want, 654-7627, 654-7627. So, Ramona, we have heard from a gentleman and who described a situation where he and his buddy had tickets. $24 tickets, but gave them away.
Yeah.
Not understanding the magnitude of what was going to happen, fully expecting the Soviets to win, and instead went to see Montreal.
Yeah. Ended up in a place where they were not welcome.
And watched the game from there and realized what they could have been at. And then, of course, Harriet, who was actually at the game. As part of the medical thing.
Right.
Pretty amazing. You want to get in 654-7627. We started talking about the draft and the Falcons prospects and what they might do. You can get in on any subject you want the rest of the show. 654-7627, 654-7627. And we're talking a little bit about Grady Jarrett, who's basically been on a $600,000 contract. Tiny, I'll get to you in a minute. And now is ready to be paid and is going to be paid handsomely. The question is, will it be in Atlanta or somewhere else? And I think it's likely that it is going to be in Atlanta. The Falcons seem to be targeting Grady Jarrett as a top priority. And I understand both sides of that. I would love to target Grady Jarrett as a top priority. I also understand the nature of the salary cap and wonder whether you can afford to pay a defensive tackle $20 million a year. I'm not sure you can, but I think the Falcons are going to. And again, if there is a non-Aaron Donald deserving of that type of money, Grady Jarrett has elevated his play to that level. He is amongst the elite defensive tackles in the game now. So I could see that. I could see the Falcons wanting to retain him, and it may mean that they have to get rid of some other pieces. But defensive tackle, even with Grady Jarrett, still may be a need for the Falcons at draft time. Defensive end could be a need. I don't know what the Falcons plan on doing with Vic Beasley. I'm not sure he'll still be there. And then Tack McKinley is a guy who is having off-field issues. And so, you know, the Falcons still need some edge presence. And then Brooks Reed, I believe they let go. So they let Brooks Reed go as well. So they definitely need some help there. They also let Robert Alford walk. And Alford signed a big deal. I think for like $14 million a year. I think they feel pretty good about their secondary with Trufant and Oliver and DeMonte Casey and Brian Poole. I think they feel pretty good about that group. The thing is, you know, and whether Casey and Poole compete for the nickel spot, whatever, I think that they still need additional help in the secondary. You need, in today's game, the way the game is played, you really need a ton of DBs. You need a ton of defensive backs. You just have to have them based on how the game is played. So I think the Falcons still have needs in that regard as well. So, you know, in terms of what they'll do early, you know, I think, as I already indicated, priorities in no particular order have to be an offensive tackle to play opposite Matthews, a left guard. I think they're pretty content with Alex Mack at center. I think they think they're okay with Ty Sombrio at right guard. Whether that's true or not, we'll see. But I think there's certainly a need at left guard. There's still a need at defensive tackle. There's a need of another pass rusher, especially given the situation. And I would imagine they're going to try and retain the services of Bruce Irvin to help with the edge situation. And then again, at DB, I think they could use another corner or two, just from a depth standpoint. So I think that's where Atlanta is in terms of what their needs are and what they might pursue at draft time. Let me get Tiny in here. Tiny, how are you?
Doing great, Walt. How about yourself?
Good, Tiny. I appreciate you getting in, as always.
Good, good. Yeah, I finally found out that on October the 30th of last year, a world record Rocky Mountain bighorn sheep was killed. And no, it was not killed in Pelzer.
Yeah, that's good. Where was it killed?
In the Badlands of South Dakota.
Yeah, there you go. That'd be about right.
Yeah, 209 and 1/8 inches. It beat the previous record that was 198.
Really?
So it was beat it by almost 10 inches.
How about that?
Over 10 inches, actually.
Have you ever hunted them?
No, I've never hunted bighorn sheep. You got to get up in the mountains and wear that thin air, and you got to be able to kill a cougar with your bare hands to hunt those.
Yeah. By the way, the incredible shrinking cougar is now down to 30 to 35 pounds from what I've read recently.
Oh, well, that's a kitten.
Yeah, so we've gone from this wonderful, this incredible heroic story. We're now down to like bobcat size or something.
I still want the guy in the combine.
Yeah, maybe, but it's lost a little of its luster from that initial.
Yeah, he's lost a little bit.
Right.
Like I said, Walt, if you've ever tried to tackle a 5-pound wildcat under your grandma's house, you know what them things have got behind.
That's true. It does change it just a little bit. When it was 80 pounds, it was still pretty cool. Now it's 30 pounds. Hey, you know,
and it was in Denver.
Right. Another couple of weeks, there'll be a newborn.
Exactly.
and the guy sustained the wounds when he fell. I don't know, but now. I've been out to that part of the country. Can't say I've ever seen one, though.
A big long sheep. It'd be a long way off. But hey, this guy shot this thing with a bow and arrow, too.
Is that right?
So it's a Pope and Young record. So
how about that?
It's Pope and Young and Boone and Crockett.
I like
that. So that's even more amazing. So he had to hike up there and get within, you know, everything I've ever shot with a bow was inside 40 yards. So that's still a pretty amazing feat.
No question about it. A texter just wrote and said, texter 940 said, outside of Denver, you can see mountain goats on the side of the interstate.
I don't know. I've been through there a good bit, but I've never seen them on the side of the road. I saw several different types of animals, buffalo and some elk and caribou and some other animals, but never a bighorn sheep. They're usually up in the mountain areas.
Buffalo are incredible, especially when you see them up close
in their natural habitat. I mean,
I tell you what, go up here to the local zoo in Hollywild, and there's one up there. Stick his head in your car window.
Is that right? I did not know that, but I have seen them. But I have seen them where they live, and they're just incredible. I mean, you know, just almost like a prehistoric type of animal. I mean, they're just.
They really are. Yeah. They have a sense about them, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
About like standing next to Dexter Lawrence.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, Tiny. Love it as always, Tiny. Appreciate the update. Right. Appreciate the record.
No problem, guys. Y'all have a great one.
Thank you, Tiny. How about that? Big orange sheep. I've driven through Colorado. I don't remember seeing them on the side of the interstate. I'm sure Texter 940 is right, but I don't remember seeing it. And I've been in South Dakota. I've climbed and walked all those hills in South Dakota. Seen lots of prairie rattlesnakes. Seen lots of that stuff up close. Seen badgers up close. I don't remember seeing bighorn sheep. I don't know. Found all sorts of dinosaur fossils out there in those valleys. It's a cool area. Have you ever been out there, Ramona?
No, I haven't. Colorado, and then you skip over to California. I went to California, but I haven't been to any of those other places.
So you've never seen Mount Rushmore?
No, I want to.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty amazing, you know, the way we...
Yeah, I know the story.
Denigrated the Lakota's mountains, but we've tried to make up for them. It's still insane that they could have carved all that out of the face of mountains. You know, it's still almost impossible to even conceive of, but it really is amazing. I mean, it's incredible to see. Texter says rattlesnakes up close. Oh yeah. Yeah. As close as you can be. Yeah. As close as you can be. And you don't want to be bitten by a prairie rattlesnake. Venom, very damaging. Very.
I imagine there's a lot of people out there that aren't sitting around going, man, you know what? I want to be bitten by a snake.
Yeah. Well,
so I don't think it matters which snake.
Well, no, it does. Prairie rattlesnake venom, very, very, very dangerous. In fact, you get bit by a prairie rattlesnake, and what happens is, let's say you get bit on your hand or your arm or your leg, almost invariably, you're talking about massive dead tissue, meaning your arm or your leg turns black and basically
like
dies.
Really?
Yeah, you need help immediately.
And of course, this is when you're out in the middle of nowhere.
That's exactly right. See, that's the real
that's
dilemma.
That's not good.
Yeah, that's the real dilemma, is that where you're likely to encounter prairie rattlesnakes, you're likely not to have much help.
Right.
Especially if you were like me and you were there by yourself, like up on mountains.
Hiking or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I was.
Yeah.
You know, when I had some of my prairie rattler encounters. So, yeah. Yeah. A very up close and personal. The most up close was when a 3.5-foot female who was gravid, which means pregnant, was really unhappy about me reaching towards a rock that was near her.
Oh.
Yeah, she was totally camouflaged, and that's the danger. You can be out there in those hills and you can like hike forever and not see anything, but and you can sort of lose your respect for it even when you know these animals inside and out,
right?
As I actually do,
right?
And I reached for a rock that was on the ground, and she was in high grass, sitting right there. And I never saw her as I put my hand, right up near her.
Oh,
right up near her, and she immediately let me know that that was a no-fly zone.
Oh man,
and I felt very fortunate.
I guess so, man.
Very fortunate. Texas said he has somebody who has permanent shakes now. He has an employee that had a pet rattlesnake, bit him in the face.
Oh.
Had to revive him twice at the hospital. Yeah, you know, look, see, that's the problem with people who want to keep venomous snakes.
Yeah.
Is that you forget what they are. And invariably, like there was some Yehu, some Yehu X number of years ago kept a forest cobra in Greenville and eventually got tagged by it, which is, you know, going to happen. They had to fly anti-venom from Reptile Gardens in Rapid City, South Dakota. And I think from Miami One in South Florida, because if you get bitten by one of those snakes, that's where they get the anti-venom from.
Right.
It has to be helicoptered in. And that guy required a ton of vials of anti-venom and had to pay for the... So by the time he got through, he would have been better off actually just dying to begin with.
Because of the bills?
Because of the bill. The bill had to be, you know...
Oh, my goodness.
Even at that time, that was years ago. To be at least $100,000.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Man.
So, yeah.
Just because you think you're...
Yeah.
Superman.
Yeah, things you do not want to do. Exactly. So yeah, out in the land of the buffalo, but trust me, Mount Rushmore is worth seeing. It's definitely worth seeing. You want to get in 654-7627. Walt Tiptoola Road Rage, lots to get to. We'll be right back.
Hello?
Good morning, Ms. Garner. This is your wake-up call.
Oh, thank you. While I have you on the phone, did you know that with the Capital One Venture Card, you earn unlimited double miles on every purchase?
I did not.
Think about it. Unlimited double miles on everything you buy, not just airline purchases.
That is a great deal.
So, I guess we should call this your wake-up call from Capital One.
Feels like I should have seen that coming. Speaking of which, I should probably get back to work.
Oh, of course. But before you go, can I ask, what's in your wallet?
Capital One Bank USANA.
Are you ready to go all in on a car? Granger Nissan knows what car will fit you and your family because they are a leader in the market with competitive inventory. They have everything for everyone. Granger Nissan is a family business, so they know the importance of taking care of the ones we love on the road. You can drive with confidence and ease because Granger Nissan has all new vehicles with a lifetime powertrain warranty. Granger Nissan is not just in the car business, they're in the people business. Stop by Granger Nissan of Anderson on 3510 Clemson Boulevard.
Electric City Signs and Neon, over 50 years of sign design, fabrication, installation, and maintenance in the upstate, specializing in neon, plastic, flex face, channel letter, and LED message signs. Electric City Signs is ready to serve you with the highest level of satisfaction. Have questions? No problem. Their experienced team will see your project through inception to installation. Professional sign services at the best price. It's got to be Electric City Signs and Neon. Visit electriccitysigns.com or call 225-5351 today. Go Tigers!
With 11 different apartment communities in the Clemson area, Burton Properties wants you to know there are apartments ready for lease. In the Heritage at Riverwood and Heritage Point, they have units available for any size you need, and they are also reserving for the fall. Please visit their website at clemsonapartments.com. That's clemsonapartments.com. Or call 653-7717 or 654-1130. Burton Properties is family-owned and operated, and their family looks forward to serving you.
Are you all in? Show your love for the Tigers everywhere you go with your Clemson debit card. If you bleed orange and purple and want to show your team spirit, get your Clemson debit card today. Not a member? Visit RelaxJoinFounders.com or our Clemson office to see if you qualify for membership. So, be all in with your Clemson debit card and show your team spirit today. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA and a proud partner of the Clemson Tigers.
His bark is worse than his bite. It's Road Rage with Walt Steptula on 105.5 The Roar.
We're dealing with a great deal of power.
Now, back to Walt and Ramona.
This is too funny, Ramona. Now again, all these rattlesnake texts.
Yeah.
Ethan writes, Ethan from Salt Lake writes, well, I work as a nurse in the ICU out here, and the last time we had to give anti-venom, it cost $65,000 a bag. We gave 6 vials, no insurance, of course, and you can only receive the anti-venom once. Texas is just hearing rattlesnake tail shake is a sound you'll never forget. Awesome and scary. Bob writes somewhere, which I don't see anymore, but he wrote, will a rattlesnake always rattle its tail? Well, first of all, generally, because they don't want to use their anti-venom on you, or they don't want to use their venom on you, they need it for their prey, so they don't want to waste it on you. So generally, the answer is yes, but they can also lose their rattle. Rattles can fall off. So there's that element.
And, oh, they could be doing it and no noise.
Right. And non-venomous snakes can rattle as well. They do it just by vibrating their tail. Like black rattlesnakes who we have here can do it. But, you know, the thing is, what people don't realize is that a venomous snake can actually bite you without envenomizing you. Not many bites are what's known as dry bites, where the snake will actually bite you, but not inject their venom.
Yeah, but you can't take a chance.
No.
I mean, you can't go, oh, that was a bite without venom.
Well,
yeah. I mean, well, you'll it's kind of like getting a rabid dog or something. Yeah, he looked friendly.
Yeah, well, you'll know soon enough.
When your arm goes black.
Yeah. You know, Alabama Cammy wrote me on Twitter the other day about this issue and said, you can't tell the venomous snakes because people say, well, it's triangular shaped head. Well, if you're that close, then you may as well check the pupils because all venomous snakes in this country have vertical pupils.
I don't want to get close enough to a snake's eyeballs to see if he's going to bite me and hurt me. I don't want to be bit at all. So
The moral of the story is anti-venom is expensive.
That definitely is the moral of the story.
Do not get bitten is the moral of the story. I've got people offering me to come out to ranches where they have buffaloes. How about this one? Walt, my family ranch is 12,000 acre ranch in northeast Wyoming by Devil's Tower with 300 buffalo. You're welcome anytime. I'm coming.
Cool.
I want to go see that. I want to see the 300 buffalo. I'll go just for that. You know, it's funny, Ramona. In my travels out there, and I haven't been there in years now, but in my travels out there, I had crossed into northern Wyoming. I don't remember exactly where I was. And I came across, you see all this incredible stuff. I came across this totally abandoned stone house, a stone mansion. I mean, it was enormous. I couldn't even conceive of how they moved all these, you know, it was like watching film on the Egyptians and the things that they were able to do. Uh-huh. I mean, it was just an astonishing place. There was nothing to it but the walls. The inside was all gone, but just the frame of it and the setting of it was so unbelievable that many times I've thought that I should have inquired about trying to buy that back then. I don't know what I would have done with it, but...
Only the shell was left?
Yeah, only the shell was left, and it was completely abandoned. I mean, wow. Grown over, you know, completely abandoned. But there's that. You want to get in, 654-7627, 654-7627. Wow. The same texter just sent me photos of their land. Incredible. Buffalo's walking right up to the vehicle. Absolutely incredible. Wide open spaces. The land out there is incredibly, incredibly beautiful. Now, they don't call, you know, Montana, Big Sky, all those states out there. You know, the funny thing is, when I first went out to that area of the country, the first few times I went, you don't sense the enormousness of it until you're out there. In other words, like on a map, you know, I would draw all these dots where I wanted to visit here, there, elsewhere. And then even though you know it inherently, you still don't grasp it until you're actually out there and you realize these little dots that you're putting on these maps that look close together, they're not close together at all.
Oh, no, not at all.
You know, the land just seems to go on forever. I mean, forever. And it's beautiful, no question about it. Texas wrote, there's a farm on Abbeville Highway that raises buffalo. How about that? Did not know that. You want to get in, 654-7627. You know, we're talking a little bit about the Falcons and what their draft needs are and what direction they might go. And again, the
the sort of need to make sure that you maintain Grady Jarrett, and quite honestly, and to sort of pay him for his services. Because if there's a guy in the NFL who's been way underpaid since he arrived, it's Grady Jarrett. In fact, you can make the case that to this point in time, that Grady Jarrett, the last X number of years, is probably the most underpaid NFL player in the league. Because, again, he was brought in on a late rookie contract. And now it's time for him to collect. So we'll see how all that goes. But those are the Falcons' needs. And look, as I said, you know, if you're excuse me, if you're looking for an offensive lineman in this draft, here are your guys. All right, at the top of this draft, there's Andre Dillard of Washington State. He may be the best left tackle prospect in the draft. If you're just looking for that spot, Texas, stop being a wimp, Ramona. Love the show. Great show. Tiger Clay, St. George, South Carolina.
What about being
Thank
a
you,
wimp?
Tiger Clay. I don't know.
Should I want to get bit by a snake?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, maybe that was it. Maybe,
okay.
Maybe that was it. You know, I have one more story I should tell.
Go ahead.
I had a friend who ran a place called Reptile Gardens in Rapid City, right in the shadow of Mount Rushmore. He was the curator there. His name was Don Middle. I don't believe he's there anymore. I'm not 100% certain, sort of falling out of touch. But Reptile Gardens was a two-story astrodome filled with the world's most deadly snakes.
Okay.
There also was a bird of prey section, and I believe all that's still there. So if you ever get out there, it's worth stopping by, because it truly is an amazing place. And when I was there, I got there at night, and so the place was closed. Again, it's open to the public. It's a two-story astrodome, and as I indicated, it's also where much of the anti-venom comes from. So if you need, you know.
Oh, okay. That's where they stock it up.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like Greenville Hospital doesn't carry a forest cobra anti-venom.
How come? You know,
so if you're stupid enough to keep those kind of animals, then when you get bit, which you invariably will, they'll wind up calling out there. And so there's that. But so I got there at night, right? And he took me on the tour of the place. If you think it's, you know, like eerie when the lights are on, when the lights are dim, it's much more eerie.
And at that, this is after it's closed.
Well, and at that particular time, there was an Australian brown snake, one of the deadliest snakes in the world, that was loose on the premises somewhere.
Is that why they closed it?
Yeah, they had not yet opened for the season. They were like a week away.
And they couldn't find one of their snakes.
Right. They were like a week away.
That's great.
They're like a week away from opening. It's also one of the fastest snakes there is.
Oh, yeah. So it's hard to catch, too.
Yeah, but, you know, so they have anti-venom for all this stuff, right? So he's taking me around. He's giving me the tour of the place, right? And at one point, he shows me these twig snakes. Now, there are multiple varieties of what's called twig snakes. The particular twig snakes in question, I don't know the scientific name for them. But they were extremely deadly. And this was one of the snakes to which he had no antivenin. There was no antivenin known at that time to these particular.
Why were they holding on to a snake?
Well, I asked him that. I said, Don, you know, so why, you know, why, yeah. Why fool around with them then? And I said, so what happens if you get bitten by one of those things? He said, well, for 24 hours, you'll be fine. He said, and then you'll start to bleed from every orifice in your body and you'll be dead
like
in an hour.
Ebola.
Yeah, you'll be dead like in an hour. So he's taking me.
So you think, yeah, I don't need to go to the doctor.
Yeah, so yeah,
and then you turn
good.
Into like booze.
Yeah, you know, so he takes me around back, you know, because in front they have all the display cages, and back they have many more animals that aren't on display.
Right.
And it was feeding time, and so he's opening cage after cage, throwing stuff in. And at one point, he says to me, well, you'll probably be okay there. As he starts to put on a welder's mask, I said, bull crap, Don.
Okay, so his whole head is covered. Yeah, and he goes, don't worry about it.
Yeah, I'm standing right next to him. Because he was opening the cage of a spitting cobra.
Oh, great. It's going to spit right in your face.
Right,
great.
He puts a welder's mask on.
Yeah, but you'll be okay. Yeah. You'll be okay. You'll be able to jump out of the way, probably.
But, you know, the funniest thing is that you know, he was the first person to house multiple mambas, I should say, in one enclosure. And he managed to house, I think, five or six of them in one enclosure, which is quite a chore to deal with when you're dealing with animals that move that quickly and that are that insanely deadly.
Yes.
But the snake he feared the most was a 22-foot albino Burmese python.
Great.
It was just an absolute monster, as you might imagine, and that's the one animal in the whole place he feared. He would not go into that enclosure without other people. And he had this little trick where he used this ammonia spray mix, which he kept in a little plastic bottle, that if the snake actually came at him, he would try and spray at it, and it would back him off to some extent. But
sort of like using pepper spray
to a degree.
I'd stick with not going in there
to a degree.
Good night.
So that ought to give you some nightmares there, Ramona.
Well, I didn't see Miracle on Ice, but now I have the chills.
You said what? What?
I said I didn't actually see Miracle on Ice, but now I have the chills.
Well, you saw it originally.
No.
39 years ago, you didn't see it?
No.
Are you an American citizen?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I could lie and say I saw it. Oh, yeah, it was great. We were all sitting around the TV, but no, I didn't see it.
I'm sorry. So what exactly were you doing when Miracle on Ice was happening?
I don't know. Obviously not watching it. I don't know.
I am absolutely stunned now.
Why?
In the last 5 minutes of the show.
I don't know what I was doing.
We spent like 2 hours talking about Miracle on Ice and everything.
Right,
and remember
right,
where
right.
you were?
Yes, yes, yes.
And the only person who is alive who didn't see it and doesn't know anything about it is the producer of my show?
Yeah, I guess so. You want to go back in time and watch it?
I guess. It's a little late now. I mean, are you anti-American? I mean,
how am I anti-American?
Are you not listening to the people? It didn't matter whether they liked hockey, knew anything about.
I didn't even.
Ford writes she was too busy reading Dante's Inferno.
Oh, well, I knew I shouldn't have told you.
Yeah, I know you shouldn't have told me. It's very disturbing
right.
The last 5 minutes of the show. You elected not to watch?
I didn't elect not to watch it. At the time, I probably wasn't even paying attention to the Olympics.
It's not about the Olympics. The whole world was watching this.
Well, you had to be watching the Olympics in order to start watching
hockey. No, you didn't have to watch another thing in the Olympics.
All of a sudden,
you didn't have to watch another stinking thing in the Olympics. It was Miracle on Ice. It was us against the Soviets. It was Cold War. It was theater. It was every single person in the whole country was watching it except you. Texas says she must be from Russia. I'm getting the Russian spy stuff now. Honestly, I am seriously stunned. I guess it should have occurred to me to ask you earlier about your remembrances and your story. Ramona.
Yes.
Did not watch.
Not that I remember. I mean...
It's a little late for that now.
Well, I mean, I'm saying I didn't watch it because I don't remember watching it.
Okay, it's a little late for that now. Save that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right.
I'll go and get the time machine
yeah.
and go watch it.
Go do that. Go do that. It's very, very, I don't even know the word. I am literally stunned that
you did not watch that event. Stunned. Texas says women giving birth were watching it, but not Ramona. Not Ramona. Only Ramona. Your only excuse for not watching that is if you weren't born yet, and you had plenty of leeway there. Let me tell you about the offensive linemen in this class. Andre Dillard, Juwan Taylor from Florida, Greg Little, Ford from Oklahoma, Jonah Williams. To me, you know, that's sort of your group. There are a few other guys like Lidstrom from BC who I like, but I don't view this as an elite offensive line class in any way, shape, or form. So if you're need, like in the case of the Falcons or the case of the Carolina Panthers, is offensive line play, you could have a problem. I still think that, by the way, that there may be, I still think you could see four Clemson players taken in round one, even if Austin Bryant isn't one of them. I still tend to think that Cleveland Farrell and Christian Wilkins and Dexter Lawrence. And I think there's a really good chance that Mullen gets taken in round one, that Trayvon Mullins gets taken in round one as well. I think you could see those four guys, even if Austin Bryant goes later. You could still see four Clemson players going round one. But the Falcons and Panthers both have needs at the offensive line. And this is going to be the group of guys that you're choosing from. And basically, I'm not in love with any of those guys. I'm not in love with any of those guys. I mean, my concern about Jonah Williams is short arms. I think Dillard probably projects as the best natural left tackle. Obviously didn't do much run blocking at Washington State. Those are all issues. Texas said Ramona just lost her American citizenship. Nice knowing you. That's from Tiger Clay in St. George. That's how we end the show. Walt Diptula Road Rage. I will see you on Monday.
Another hour of great sports talk from the Priority One Security Studios. We